Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben.
Presented by Brakes Plus. Let's see if
there,
we can.
You know what? There is that position sells hope. And you and I talked about this during the break. The other position that has really turned into a hope-selling position that I think is a total farce is the wide receiver position.
Yes. 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 That is
somehow
not on the same level, but
somehow
right below it. Yep.
People think that if we're one wide receiver slash dynamic tight end away from winning it all. I saw Dan Orzlovsky, our buddy Dan Orzlovsky, say, hey, if Arizona was able to get Kyle Pitts, they're a Super Bowl contender. Really? And a team that has yet to block anybody over the course of however many years is that team's going to go to the Super Bowl if they get Kyle Pitts. Stop it. Stop. That ain't going to happen. All those years Detroit was drafting, Benny's a Detroit fan. Wide receiver after wide receiver after wide receiver after wide. How many championships did they go to? None?
Shut up! All right, let's get to a question mark.
All right.
And this is also in the form of tell me why I'm wrong. Mark, it seems like everywhere I turn, I hear more and more people saying this Broncos roster is really good and ready to pop. You are the only holdout. It's time for you to admit this roster is better than you think. Tell me why I'm wrong.
There is a
growing sentiment.
I don't have to tell you. There's a growing sentiment that everybody else is wrong and I'm right. Right? No?
There is a growing sentiment that you are wrong.
All right. I'm going to try to put this.
I'll give you one more, by the way.
Right.
Peter Schrager? No, excuse me. Adam Schein.
Adam Schein. Shine on Sports.
I don't know if he does Shine on Sports.
He does.
Does he?
Yeah, I know. Oh. Go on, Adam. I love Adam, but he's a bit of a, welcome to Shine on Sports.
Yeah, he's a bit of a puker. Right.
I love Adam. He's great. He does a great radio show.
But here's what he says about the Broncos, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He says the Broncos must take a quarterback. Here's what he said. Drew Lock is not the answer. We saw that last year when he consistently failed to maximize a strong supporting cast. The Broncos have an enticing collection of young weapons, but they need the right trigger man.
So
there's another one.
So
from Shine on Sports.
So you had the number one and the number two leading drop receivers in football, and somehow that's Drew Lock's fault. That young talent led the league.
KJ Hamler was number one in drops,
and Jerry Jeudy was number two in drops.
That's true.
That's Drew Lock's fault.
Okay.
That's interesting. I don't have to admit anything.
And no, you don't have to, but maybe you should.
There is no way that I should admit that this roster is not a top. What they have them listed? What did PFF have them?
Sixth.
Sixth. This is not a top 10 roster in this league. This is somewhere between 15 and lower.
But let me.
And wait, let me just stop you right there.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Right.
Okay,
you can disagree all you want.
Here we go.
Okay, so let me just say this. 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11. But that's a top 10 roster, right? Because it was Mike McCoy's fault. It was Bill Musgrave's fault. It was Wrinkle's fault. It's Pat Shurmur's fault. Oh, wait, no, it's It's Fox. It's John Fox's fault. Wait, no. It was Kubiak's fault. Antiquated offense. Oh, wait. No. It was Vance Joseph's fault. It is Vic Fangio's fault. He had no timeouts. So you're telling me you've gone through five coordinators and what, four head coaches? Is that correct? Five coordinators and four head coaches, and it has nothing to do with the roster. This roster is solid.
Well,
it's all coaching.
But yes, early on in that five-year run, yes. But as the roster improved to the point where it's better than most people think, where it's better than you think. Let me give you a quick example, okay?
Okay.
Just defensively, I think we'd all agree that if you just look at the talent that's been assembled on the defensive side of the ball,
okay,
would you at least say that the defensive roster is top half in the league?
Top half in the league.
Right now.
Okay.
For this year.
Let me stop you for 2 seconds, okay? On that.
Okay.
So I think that this defensive secondary has the potential to be good.
Okay.
Really good.
Okay. All right. File that away.
I think one thing that people don't really pay attention to is it doesn't get the love or the respect that it deserves. Who's playing nickel? I think that's become one of the, it's not one of the top paid positions in football, but it's one of the most important positions in football.
Well, that's Bryce Callahan, isn't he? Your nickel.
Well, last year he was outside.
I know, but he won't be on paper. He's not an outside guy this year.
Okay, for nine games, he's your nickel.
Right.
But my point being is when you're running route combinations, when you're running, two by two route combinations, when you're running a drive with a basic and a, dig coming behind it, when you're running kind of high low combinations, or you're running a three man combination that's a snag route type of combination, the guy that you're attacking is either the outside linebacker on one side or it's that nickel guy. And in that nickel situation, now that guy has to not only be a great defender, getting his depth and doing all those things, or playing man, but he also has to be a great run support guy.
Okay.
So that becomes a really important position in football. The other thing is your underneath coverage. Look at where guys, or look at where organizations, or look at where teams are attacking teams. They're attacking that underneath coverage. Most everything now is out of your hands in less than 2 seconds. You're reading front side to back side. You're not going through progressions. And a lot of what you're attacking is the underneath coverage, whether it's the nickel on the outside, the outside linebacker, or the two-hook defenders. That's where you're trying to create mismatches, middle of the field mismatches. And so that's kind of the way and the direction the league has gone in. So I would say that on paper, the potential of this roster, Mike, is really good. The potential of this roster.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about. Whenever we talk about on paper, we are talking about potential.
Okay.
So, well, but I come from a
world where potential gets you fired.
I agree.
I want people that can play.
I agree.
So I would say your two middle linebacker spots in today's NFL aren't good enough.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
Yep. They're not good enough.
Yep.
I don't believe your nickel spot right now, as currently constructed. And now, if Bryce Callahan is healthy,
right,
and you can tell me he can stay healthy, which he's never done once in his career, then, I have questions there. I think your interior defensive line, I think they play better than they are on paper.
Okay.
So, but are you telling me that Von Miller is going to be the Von Miller we remember? And is Bradley Chubb, even though he went to the Pro Bowl last year, Bradley Chubb wasn't the Bradley Chubb we saw as a rookie.
Okay.
And he needs to, and so, but there's great potential there.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're doing a great rope-a-dope right now, but I got to go in for the kill here. Okay. I'm just asking, on paper, is this defense top half of the league? I'm not saying top five. I'm not even saying top 10. Is this an above average defense on paper to you?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's all I was looking for.
Okay, because they have a difference maker at two of the three levels. to be a top five defense,
right,
you have to have a difference maker at all three levels.
Fair enough.
I believe.
Fair enough.
Okay.
But that's not what I was asking.
Right. No, I'm just giving it to you straight.
Okay. Now, let's just play a little game on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. And you'll understand what the game is as we move along here. Had the Broncos not drafted Noah Fant, would he have still been a first-round pick?
Would he have been a first-round pick? Yes.
Had the Broncos not drafted Jerry Jeudy, would he have been a first-round pick?
Yes.
Had the Broncos not drafted Garrett Bowles, would he have been a first-round pick?
Yes.
Had the Broncos not drafted Dalton Risner, would he have been a second-round pick?
Probably yes.
Had the Broncos not drafted Lloyd Cushenberry, would he have been a third-round pick?
Probably.
Okay. Had the Broncos not signed Melvin Gordon, would he have ended up somewhere where he would have been the preemptive starting running back?
I believe that is a yes, but I don't know that it would have been for that money, but yes, I believe that. I think they paid too much for him, but he would have gotten an opportunity to be a starter, yes.
Okay. Has Cortland Sutton done everything to this point that makes you think that he can be a number one or number two wide receiver?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So here's what I'm getting at, is that you have, on paper, assembled a group of talent that you've agreed that everywhere they got drafted or the role that they have, they would have that same role somewhere else, and they're all here. So that's a lot of ones, twos, and threes, and starters.
Mm-hmm.
That would be starters anywhere else they would go, and they're all here together. So, on paper, this has the makings of being a really good offense.
See, I see what you did there.
And you now think, you have to admit,
no,
I'm not wrong.
No, I don't have to admit
yes,
that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Because I just got you to admit this is an above-average, on paper, defense, and an above-average offense, on paper, besides at the quarterback position.
No, you did not get me to admit that. You got me to admit that those guys probably, Noah Fant probably would have gone in the first round.
Right.
Okay, so does Noah Fant start over Travis Kelce in Kansas City?
No.
No, of course not. Does Jerry Jeudy start over the Cheetah in Kansas City?
No.
No, of course not. Right? Does Garrett Bowles start over Eric Fisher at left tackle any year that they've played?
No.
No. Okay.
I'm not sure. I see how you're trying to wiggle off this hook, but I'm not going to let you. Don't worry, people. Don't worry. I got him. I got him.
I'll
tire him out. Like, it might take a little while to reel him in, but don't worry. He's going to get tired.
There are plenty of players that are going to go in the first round or going to go in the second round, Mike. There are plenty of those players. Plenty. I'm telling you. But it does not make them elite at their position. There's 32 first-rounders every year. There's 32 first-rounders, right? Somebody's got to be drafted in the first round. It doesn't make you great. Paxton Lynch was drafted in the first round. What does it mean? So, and sometimes, frankly, it matters where you go. And this is where continuity comes in. This is where continuity becomes so important. When you're an organization that doesn't have continuity, how much more difficult is it to develop as a player? Like, seriously, how much more difficult is it when Noah Fant comes in and he is, you know, sometimes he's the Y, sometimes he's the adjustment tight end, and the F, you know, and he's in Scangarello's offense, so there's shifts and there's motions and there's all these things that he has got to be. I mean, I think it's one of the hardest positions to come in and play in the West Coast offense because you've got to do so much thinking and 12 and, you know, lining up and playing fullback and all those things become labor intensive mentally. And now all of a sudden you say, you're not playing that anymore. And what we used to call this, we're going to call this. And it's hard to develop that way. So, again, do they have potential to be good? Absolutely. They have potential to be good.
I'm not going to let you start to make this just a apples to apples comparison with the Chiefs. That's not fair.
Where do you want me to go?
That's not fair. That's not that. Talk about running before you walk.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not even looking at that. I'm just saying, does this roster have the makings of being a roster that can, in a 17-game season, challenge 10 wins? And the argument is, if you get the kind of quarterback play that clearly George Payton believes that they have to find and have to upgrade, while still recognizing that that guy could be Drew Lock, but would you acknowledge that if you got that kind of quarterback play, pair it with this roster on paper on defense, on paper on offense, with the amount of first and second rounders that you have assembled here, that is a 10-win roster?
That is
a playoff contending roster.
That comes down to potential. So here is the New Orleans Saints. I mean, let's play this game with the New Orleans Saints, because they were, I think, 11 or 12. Michael Thomas versus whoever on our receiver.
I will take Michael Thomas.
Sure you will. Terron Armstead at left tackle. Multiple time All-Pro.
I will defer to you on left tackles.
Anders Peet, multiple Pro Bowls. Eric McCoy, Pro Bowl center. Ryan Ramczyk, multiple All-Pro player. Okay, and then Alvin Kamara. Will you take him over? Now, how pray tell, is that roster 11 and Broncos roster is 6? When I just gave you 6 players that you would rather have over anybody on our offense.
Yeah, I never agreed with that one.
Okay, I'm just telling you that you listen to the national, you listen to a lot of the national players or a lot of the national guys. Man, you tell me, Mike, and this is what's crazy. You know, I spend 50 hours a week prepping games, right? And I did 3 Broncos games. And I did a Broncos game against New Orleans. I did a Broncos game against the Bills. And I did a Broncos game against Tampa. Our roster wasn't even close on film to any of those rosters. What is that over there in the distance? I can't see it. Let me see the binoculars. Oh, it's the other roster. Like, it's that much better. And now, listen, I can't tell you. I can tell you that the Jets suck, but I really can't give you an in-depth view of their roster because I never did a Jets game. So you're getting a bunch of television analysts that look at potential and 40 times and tell you, oh, our Broncos roster is a top 10 roster. You guys don't know. They don't know.
Okay, let's
They're
bring
not
this.
Looking at that.
Let's bring this then into a way that we can really have the conversation and have it easily. You've got the teams that were the wild card teams in the AFC last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the teams that made the playoffs, barely made the playoffs, barely missed the playoffs. All right, I'm going to put Cleveland, Indy, Miami. Cleveland, Indy, and Miami all in a group together. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are the teams that went 11-5, 11-5, 10-6, and in the case of the Dolphins, just missed the playoffs. So if you're looking, especially now in a 17-game season, if you want to have any chance of making the playoffs, you got to win 10 games, right? You got to win 10. You're probably going to have to win 11.
Correct.
Okay. So if I tell you the Denver Broncos next season get good quarterback play.
Okay.
Not great. Not great. Good quarterback play. Mm-hmm. Your quarterback is throwing in 17 games, he's throwing for 4,000 yards, and he has basically 28 touchdowns to 10 picks, 11 picks.
Yeah.
Okay? Do the Broncos have a roster that puts them in the mix and ahead of Miami, the Colts, and the Browns?
I would say that they would put them ahead of Miami, not the Colts and the Browns. Now, I've done a Browns game. The Browns are loaded. The Browns are pretty loaded.
Browns are loaded.
I did not do a Colts game, but I did a Colts game 2 years ago, and the Colts roster was pretty good. They can run the snot out of the ball. And Miami was interesting because Miami does a great job from a scheme standpoint. They've got an outstanding corner. I think offensive talent wise, they're pretty middle of the pack at best. They've got a running back that runs hard. They've got Devontae Parker really exploded on the scene and played really well for them last year. I did one of the Miami games. Fitzpatrick was just a difference maker for them, you know, and they won some games. But a lot of what they did was smoke and mirrors. Like, I got to give Brian Flores a lot of credit because there was some smoke and mirrors involved. But they played exceptionally hard, you know. And the other thing that's sets them apart to a degree, Mike, is they know what they're going to be. They know what their system is. They know what they want to be, you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So
how about the Broncos roster versus New England's roster? Because I think that there is a widely held opinion that you get a good, not great, quarterback in New England, match it up with the roster they have now, Belichick.
Yeah.
And that coaching staff, that's a playoff team, no doubt.
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
I think offense.
Thinking of you, Bill.
I think their offense is average, is mediocre. Defensively, they have always gotten the best out of their players and put their players in position. They've played really smart. But tell me who's at all three levels of their defense, who's a difference maker?
Other than Gilmore, and he regressed last year.
I couldn't
tell you one.
No, I couldn't either. So I would say that.
But they've always been a sum is greater than the individual part type defense.
Absolutely. 100%. But, I am not giving you this. I'm not giving you this. The Broncos roster on, if they just get quarterback play, they're going to be,
it's an above average roster?
No, I do not think it's an above average roster.
And by that meaning, if they are, you don't think they're even 16th? You don't even think they have the 16th best roster in football?
I think the 16th best roster doesn't consistently go 5-11.
All right. Well, I would argue that if you have even just good quarterback play.
How much is
good?
Let me ask you this.
Mark, I'm going to tell you right now. Right. I think if you put a good quarterback, not great, I don't mean asking great, just good, you give me good quarterback play here, I think this is a top 16 team in the NFL.
Wins above replacement. How many wins above replacement does a good quarterback give this roster? You can't tell me it gives them 5. A good quarterback, what is it worth? 3 wins? A decent quarterback, give him 3 wins? Okay, so now we're up to 8 wins.
Mr. Unlimited.
4? Does it give you 4? All right, now we've moved up to 9 wins. In a 17-game schedule, you're still not good enough.
I think if you are telling me everyone's coming, all right, we're up against a break.
All right,
that's
you know what?
Now we're gonna fight.
Speaking of,
we're gonna fight
free in somebody's head.
We're gonna
keep working.
There's plenty of room up there.
We're gonna scrap some more. We're not done with this. Don't worry, folks. Don't worry. I've got them on the hook.
Mm-mm.
It's like those epic reel in Marlin tuna type videos you see. Okay,
where my fin's out of the water and it's giving you the bird.
No, Stink's still got a lot of fight in him, but he is hooked. I'm going to wear him down. I'm going to bring that big tuna on board. I'm going to do it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. Motors.com.
All right. Hey, Benny, can you kind of set the mood for what I'm trying to finish off here?
You want a fish? Or you want to around?
All right, so I've got Mark on the hook.
It's like one of those epic
4-hour battles to bring in one of those like big marlins or tunas.
This is gonna happen.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
The old man in the sea. That's like this. What is that? Ernest Hemingway. This is like a.
Right now you're dragging those big. What was it? Those things in Jaws. Those big containers. The things that pop up to the top of
your big 55-gallon drum.
Yeah, you're dragging the drums around. You're putting up the good fight. But as one texter points out, I love how Evans just got Mark to say yes to every question, saying the Broncos have a good roster, but Mark is too prideful to give in.
That was not me saying, again, this is the narrative that you guys come up with.
I got you to admit that the Broncos defense on paper is an above average defense. You admitted that. And then I got you to admit that every first and second rounder that the Broncos have would have been first and second rounders elsewhere, and they're all assembled on this roster. So come on, just admit that this is a roster that with good quarterback play, and I hope it could come from Drew Lock if given the opportunity.
With good quarterback play,
a 10 to 11 win team.
With good quarterback play, you could win 8 games.
8.
So you're telling me good quarterback.
Make that 9 because it's 17 games.
You're telling me that good quarterback play is catapulting you into 11 or 12 games. I mean, come, are we reincarnating Peyton Manning? Who are we getting at quarterback? Are we getting Aaron Rodgers? Stop. So again, I have told you the potential of this roster is pretty good.
Okay.
You're
admitting that this is a roster that is better than most people give it credit for.
No. Most people give this roster way too much credit. Just go and look at your national cheerleading boys out there. They give it too much credit. I'm just giving you the honest evaluation. And here's the other thing that I don't understand this. I don't understand why nobody looks at the roster in totality. Why is this team one of the worst special teams units in all of football every year? So you're telling me that all 22 guys that you start going to make it through the season, no problem, no missed games, no nothing. The same folks that are sitting here telling me this roster is stacked. Oh, stacked. And then you get a couple injuries and go, oh, it's not their fault. They had an injury.
Well, there's got to be something to the idea of your starters. Why would they'd be making such a big deal about now with Antonio Brown coming back? Tampa Bay's bringing back all 22 of their starters.
There's a reason.
From last year. Kansas City brought back 21 of their 22 starters. Right.
There's a reason.
Their Super Bowl.
There's a reason that starters are important. That's important. And when your backups, aren't like haven't played, maybe shouldn't be on the roster, or you need to upgrade them, but that's what you have right now. When those guys have to play, Mike, there's a significant drop off. And this again comes to roster building. And when I say, hey, the roster is inadequate, it's not because I don't think the starters have potential, or it's not because I don't think Jerry Jeudy has potential to be really good. I'm looking at the roster in totality. And I've said this for years, and you know I've said it for years, and I've been right for years. The roster's 22 to 25 deep. It's not deep enough. You don't have good enough backups. And in some positions, you've got backups that are starting. That's just reality.
Do you know what you've done now while you thrash in the water and fight the good fight? You've opened yourself up for an attack on a whole different angle.
Really?
Really. And here it is. And okay. I saw this coming too. You should have seen it. This is what you've done. Shame on you. Colin Inglewood. Mark, I totally agree with you. You can say yes to all that stuff, but if you have an idiot or idiots coaching, great players on paper, it doesn't matter. The Broncos don't have a system that has grown and developed players well enough to make them above where they were drafted or maintain their skill. See, you just open the door for the one thing you hate more than anything, is instead of blaming this roster for and the personnel moves of John Elway, everybody wants to continue to blame the coaches. And you just gave an opening for people to say, see, Mark, you're right. You're right. This roster, maybe this roster is good, but it won't matter because the coaches won't get the most out of this roster.
If you change the coach every 2 years, if you change the coordinator every 6 months, you're right. Two things can be true at once. Your coaching can not be good enough, and your roster cannot be good enough. Both of those things can be true. You know what? And usually when you go 5-11, both those things are true. All I'm telling you is if you want to hold, I know this is going to be hard for some, you want to hold people accountable? Do you think it was wise to invest and make Juwan James one of the highest paid right tackle? He was the highest paid right tackle in football when he's had a history of inconsistency, and to make Glasgow one of the highest paid guards in football, who's a good player, but he's not top four or five.
All right, this is my last argument, and you can do with it what you want. Right. I just think you're being unfair in talking about, you know, this is a 5-11 roster. Look at the record. Okay, just look at the differences just in this roster alone. Okay, this year's roster has Ronald Darby added, Kyle Fuller added, Von Miller added, Bradley Chubb, a first full season removed from an ACL. Offensively, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, a year older, Noah Fant, a year older. Garrett Bowles seems to have found the GB zone, Dalton Reisner, a year older. I just think that You have to take into account that this on paper is a better roster already than it was just the one we watched a few months ago finish the season off.
And Mike, absolutely. Absolutely.
Then admit I'm right. And that you have underrated this roster.
This roster will get rated appropriately when it produces.
Oh, okay, Dad.
Seriously, like, how are you gonna put this roster that is consistently 6-10, 5-11 as a top 5 or 6 roster, like the national media sources want to put it, when it can't win? And you can't just blame bad quarterback play. You can't tell me that if we just get, you say, hey, if we just get average, above average quarterback right. play. So you're telling me if we just put on, give me an above average quarterback. Not anything
Let's
great.
Let's do this exercise because I want to do this. Because I was actually just thinking about this.
How many games do they win?
I'm taking a look at Drew Lock's numbers from last year. And all I'm going to do is tweak. I'm not even going to dramatically inflate. I'm just going to tweak these numbers a bit. And I just think you're going to have a hard time telling me this isn't at least a 10-win football team. That's next. All right, just play this little game with me. Right. And I'm determined to reel you on board. Okay, so the whole argument is that the Broncos roster is better than you give it credit for. And that if they just got good quarterback play, how much of a difference would it make? So last year, Drew Lock, we know Drew Lock by now what he was. 29, about 3,000 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, 15 picks.
All right.
Okay? I'm not even going to tell you who the quarterback is that I'm looking at. But if, and it could be Drew Lock. It could be Justin Fields. It could be whomever. If you're telling me, and I'm not looking for a quantum leap here, I'm just looking at if you go from 3,000 yards to 3,500 yards.
Okay.
If you go from 16 touchdowns to 26 touchdowns.
Okay.
Adding in a 17th game.
Okay.
Within reach. And if you cut those interceptions from 15 to 8 or 9.
Okay.
I'm not talking about top 5 quarterback numbers. I'm not even talking about top 10 quarterback numbers. I'm actually talking about the numbers of the 18th ranked quarterback in the NFL last year, Baker Mayfield. All I'm asking for is a jump that would take you into the neighborhood of Baker Mayfield numbers. You telling me that if Denver Broncos quarterback to be determined next year gives you 3,600 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, you're telling me with this roster, this isn't a 10-win team?
Hold on now. I'm looking at something. Okay.
I have a hard time believing that if you give me that kind of quarterback play, I'm not even talking about Pro Bowl quarterback play. If you just give me just good quarterback play with what they have right now, this isn't a 10-win team?
Okay, so Mike, you had 16 games last year, right? 16 games, you won 5 games, right? What does that leave? 11, correct? Of those 11, you had 5 double-digit losses. Okay? So you had 5 double-digit losses. So that takes you down to what? How many games? 6, correct? So you're telling me that are you going to win all 6 of those games? How many of those 6 games are you going to lose? 50%. Let's say good quarterback play gets you 50% of those 6 wins, those 6 losses that were one-score losses.
I think I'd probably err more on the side of 4. Okay,
but 4?
Yeah.
4 takes you to 9.
Yep.
Is that going to get you in the playoffs next year?
No.
No. So good quarterback play, I would say 50% of those, it'll give you 3 more wins. Good quarterback play. What you just described, good quarterback play will give you 3 more wins. So now we've gotten you up to 8 and 9. You say 4. Okay. 9 and 8.
And I think if you're adding in the 17th game, you got to factor that into. So let's say 4 wins.
Okay, 9 and 8. Yeah, 9 and 8.
9 and 8.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay.
Are you going to the playoffs with 9 and 8 record?
Nope. But now I'm factoring in Von Miller's back. Bradley Chubb, a year removed from ACL. All these younger players, you gotta figure, right? I don't think I'm making a giant leap that these young players will continue to ascend. There was a reason why they got drafted in the first and second round. Cortland Sutton comes right back. All right. Vaughn comes back. Sutton comes back. Chubb is a full year removed from ACL. He spent his entire offseason just becoming a stronger, better football player rather than rehabbing any injury. Add in what figures to be a realistic jump year one to year two for Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. What figures to be a realistic improvement for Dalton Reisner, Noah Fant. And then, yeah, even along the offensive line. And bring back a Juwan James. I know the eye roll. I'm not going the full Zach here saying that he's going to have a, you know, Garrett Bowles type resurgence this year. But what I'm saying is that he's going to be back. Okay. He's not opting out. He's going to be here. So
this is good. This is good. So you're going full Ferguson then.
I'm not going full Ferguson.
No, full Ferguson.
Ferguson was 12-4 a couple years ago.
They're going to win 11 games. In your scenario, they win 11 games this year.
If you give me the quarterback play and those numbers, which are good, not great, just give me good quarterback play, the ones I just laid out, yes, this is a 10-win team. This is a 10-7 team.
With good quarterback play.
Not great. Good.
So you're telling me within the division that they play in, they're going to split with KC with just good quarterback play. They're going to split with KC.
No, I'm not willing to go there yet.
Oh, well
No. Right. Okay.
What about the Chargers? Is anybody else going to get better in the offseason? It's only the Broncos that are going to get better, right? It's just the
if
Broncos.
I get good quarterback play, I think good quarterback play, that's a significant improvement. If you're a team that's been getting bad quarterback play and all of a sudden you get good quarterback play, I think that helps you zoom up the charts in today's NFL.
Okay, so yes. Mike has them going 11.
No,
and,
11
and 5.
I said 10.
11 and
what, 6. No, 10 and 7.
11 and 6.
10 and 7.
No, you got to go 11. You got to say 11. You got to put your money where your mouth is.
Why?
Because you said they're going to get good quarterback.
Good quarterback play.
Good quarterback play.
Yes, and that makes them
11.
Immediately
you're
10
not correct
and 7.
At all.
You gotta, you can't just jump right. This is like saying they're gonna be 8-8.
So you're telling me that if the quarterback next year is 30, and since you're playing another game, I guess you gotta extrapolate the numbers a little bit. Okay, so you're telling me that if your quarterback next year throws for 3,900 yards with 26 touchdowns and 10 picks, you don't think this is a 10-win team? You think this is still an 8 or 9 win team? 8 and 9 or 9 and 8? God, it's so weird getting talk about this.
Right, yeah, it is. It is weird. Do I think they could flirt with it? Potentially, yeah. But again, Mike, this is a big difference between going, you know, winning 9 games and winning 10 games. We always say there's a big difference, and there's a lot of things. You know, there's going to there's a lot of things. Again, right now we have Drew Lock on our roster. And, you know, where this started was the roster.
Yeah.
And if you think this is a top 6 roster, or top 10, like a top 6 roster like Pro Football Focus says, or
I don't.
A top 10 roster, and you don't take into account the second half of this roster,
right?
Then you're fooling yourself. And all I'm trying to do is bring honesty here.
And you don't think I'm trying to be honest? You know, for the person who says,
I think
10 and 7, morning drinking's a good look for you. Come on.
I think you're trying to be honest, but I think what Pro Football Focus and everybody gets caught up in is just the starters.
But everybody's
just
looking
evaluate
at
the
but
starters.
Everyone's looking at this through the lens of the quarterback play that they've watched, that they watched last year and they've watched for the last 5 years. I'm not saying that if you continue to get that kind of quarterback play, you're going to get to 10-7. You won't. I'll freely admit that. We're talking about good quarterback play, and I've laid out the parameters of what good quarterback play looks like, and I'm just asking you to try to picture what this team would look like with good quarterback play. And yeah, I think 10 wins is absolutely would be the expectation. It would be for me.
Okay, well,
if at the end of the day, Mark, if at the end of the day you give me quarterback play like I just laid out, and they're 8 and 9, 9 and 8, then I will be the first to admit you are right. And I was.
But we shall see.
But are you willing to admit that if they get that kind of quarterback play and they go 10-7, that you were.
No.
No.
I was.
Of course he won't. That's why I love you. That was fun. We haven't scrapped like
right
that
in a while.
That was good. All right. Tomorrow is the day, everybody. We'll be up and early, ready to go, breaking down all the last-minute rumors and speculation. So look forward to that. In the meantime, we hand it off to Sandy in Orlando next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.